Today on the Profitable Tradie podcast, people actually want responsibility. Well, good people do. This is very important and probably one of the biggest lessons we've learned growing thousands of businesses and growing our own business as well. If you need to control absolutely everything, you literally cannot grow. Today we're going to talk about a system for actually driving that skill of initiative. A lot of the time, you're just taking the responsibility from your staff to make a decision. You're actually keeping them weak. You're disempowering them.
You need to identify, is this actually a knowledge gap, something I should actually help with, or is this something that they probably know? They're just trying to make this my responsibility if it goes wrong.
And that will kill innovation and initiative massively. One of the reasons we're successful in business because we are high control.
You know, will you be more angry about the fact that they, you know, took some initiative and got a little bit wrong, or more angry about the fact they got it perfect after 20 phone calls?
There is a magic trick here, recognizing that perfection is not the goal, excellence is the goal.
All of that can end up going to waste if you can't drive this one key piece of the puzzle, which is...
Ever feel like you're the one who ends up solving most, if not all, problems that come up in your business? Now, while your team waits around for you to tell them what to do, whenever anything out of the ordinary comes up, well, it turns out that sometimes your team aren't the problem here. You might be. You're listening to the Profitable Tradie podcast, where we'll help you turn your business into a money-making machine. We know you're busy, so we'll make it worth your time. Thanks for tuning in. And remember, time is money, and we're here to help you make more of both. So hit the follow button and let's get started. To the podcast. Welcome to the Profitable Tradie Podcast. Tony Fraser-Jones, your host here with my good mate Phil Smith. How you doing there, buddy?
Yeah, always good. Ready to roll.
Yeah, mate. Excited to get into this today. What are we digging into?
Well, we're talking about how the key to growing a successful team is giving your people the tools that they need to shine without your input. So, you know, you're never going to be able to scale a team or your business, for that matter, past the point where you're basically wiping their bums for them and having to give them every answer. So, there's lots you can do to help your team do a better job on their everyday tasks. You know, you can train them on their skill gaps. You can put systems in place that they can follow rather than needing to think for themselves. But all of that can end up going to waste if you can't drive this one key piece of the puzzle, which is initiative and problem solving.
Yes, it is extremely frustrating when you have to do all the thinking all of the time for everything that comes up in your business. And, you know, you might think you're the best person to do the job, and maybe you might be, but you certainly can't grow if that's the case. And it's incredibly stressful and tiring when all of that responsibility, you know, sits on your shoulders. And I guess the thing is, if it does sit on your shoulders and you don't let it sit on other people's shoulders, they're never going to get strong. You know, it's like going to the gym. If you don't lift the weights, you don't get strong. If you don't let the responsibility sit on their shoulders, they ain't going to get strong. So that's a big part of it. And today we're going to talk about a system for actually driving that skill of initiative, you know, a really simple process to empower your team so that you can actually continue to grow the business by them taking responsibility without you having to do everything, which is the whole point of business.
Yeah, yeah, sounds like a good topic. So I'm sure you have a little story to kick us off.
I do have a story. It's about Captain David Marquette, who's a very interesting guy. You may have heard of him, I think.
Ah, yeah. Is he the guy that wrote Turn the Ship Around?
Turn the Ship Around. Great book.
Great book.
Look, you should definitely read this book. It's a great book. But he was unexpectedly given the command of the USS Santa Fe, which was a nuclear-powered submarine. And the Santa Fe actually had a pretty rubbish reputation. It was like the worst-performing boat in the fleet.
Bottom of the fleet, right?
Bottom of the fleet, low morale, poor retention. The crew, you know, didn't have any initiative, and it just was a low performer. So Marquette, you know, took over. And here's the interesting thing about it is that he actually had trained on different subs, so he wasn't an expert in, you know, the systems on this sub at all. So didn't really understand the systems and controls at a really detailed level. So when he took over the Santa Fe, he couldn't actually micromanage the ship.
He
didn't know what was going on, right? So that was the thing. So the breaking point for him happened not long into the command, where he gave an order which was ahead 2/3. And a junior officer attempted to actually execute this order, only to discover that this particular setting or command wasn't actually something you could do on this boat.
He said that people were looking around like stunned mullets, right? Yeah. Like they just didn't really know what to do.
Yeah. So, and that's when it hit, you know, Marquette is like the crew had been trained to obey, but they hadn't been trained how to think. And so he realized that the problem with this boat wasn't the crew. It was actually the leadership and the style of leadership that the crew had experienced. So he shifted things and he implemented a pretty radical change. So he told his officers, don't ask for permission, tell me what you intend to do. So instead of something like, hey, commander, permission to submerge, the officer would say, hey, I intend to submerge the ship to 400 feet. Systems are green. We're checked. We're good to go. And Marquette would either approve or adjust. But the thinking, the ownership, and the responsibility actually rested with a team member, not the boss. And that's a very, very different thing.
It's powerful.
Very powerful. So the result was huge. The retention rate skyrocketed from the lowest in the Navy to some of the highest. You know, the Santa Fe went from the worst to the first in terms of operational performance. Other subs started copying the leadership structure. And, you know, probably most powerfully, a lot of Marquette's junior officers actually went on to command their own submarines, which at a really high rate relative to other boats.
Pretty impressive.
It is. So, you know, it looked like a problem with the crew. Well, it kind of was a problem with the crew, but it was caused by a problem with the leadership.
Yeah, it's that learned helplessness, right?
Learned helplessness. And, you know, this applies a lot in businesses, and maybe it applies in your business as well at the moment. So we really should dig into that.
Yeah, 100%. I think if we can't get guys to take initiative and actually think for themselves, we run into some big problems.
Big problems. I mean, like at a simple level, you're just going to field millions of phone calls. Well, it's not millions, but it feels like millions.
It definitely feels like it.
Literally, your ear is going to be hot.
Yeah.
Your cell phone is on fire. Your ear is going to be hot from all the calls, because when anything goes wrong, you'll get a call.
Yeah, I think if you need to charge your phone during the day because it's running out of battery that fast, I think you got a problem. You know this applies to you.
Yeah, yeah. And it won't only be questions from guys out in the field. It'll be questions from the officers you've got. That it's kind of everything. You just won't have time to do the work that you need to do in the business, which is the working on the business stuff, because you're so busy just keeping the wheels turning, keeping the show on the road. You will get, you know, as I said, busy but very stressed. Because when you're responding to questions all the time, it's quite urgent. It's kind of jumps out at you, so it stimulates that stress response, and your brain goes into that fight or flight, that urgent kind of, I've got to sort this out sort of thinking, and that really makes it hard to think about the big picture as well. But here's the thing. You feel like you're helping. You feel like you're doing what needs to be done to make sure the job's getting done. But actually, a lot of the time, you're just taking the responsibility from your staff to make a decision. You're actually keeping them weak. You're disempowering them. And you're creating the problem that's frustrating you, because the more you wipe their butts, the more they need their butts wiped, because the less they think for themselves and the less they even think about thinking for themselves.
Well, you're not just creating it, you're perpetuating it. And you're not just perpetuating it, you're actually making it a permanent habit, because they really get into this habit of, that's the way things are going to go. The boss is going to come help me. The boss is going to save me. And I don't need to think. And so you don't just take it away, but you actually make it really permanent by, you know, continuing to act that way.
Yeah. And I guess the, you know, just to emphasize, the real problem is you think you're doing what you should do. You think you're helping, you're the best person to do stuff. You've got all the knowledge. But the only way you got the knowledge is by the experience. It's not like you woke up one day and you had to do everything.
Yeah, you weren't coming out of the womb, you know.
Yeah, yeah, fully
already
charged.
Already wearing a hard hat, ready to go.
That's right.
With
that's
all the
right.
knowledge.
And so you've had to go through and stub your toes, and the same is with your team. And so you'll be so frustrated with them, but you won't see that actually the problem and the solution is looking you in the mirror. And don't get me wrong, sometimes there are team members who, you know, need to be better, and maybe they can't come up to the mark, but there'll be a bunch who can. But they're just not, you know, being able to or allowed to.
Yeah, 100%.
And at the end of the day, what this means is your business won't grow. You are a bottleneck through which everything must pass. And, you know, the thought of growing in that situation subconsciously is so painful, because if you add more people, all that means is that, you know, you're going to have more phone calls and more stuff to deal with. And you subconsciously won't grow into that pain.
Yeah.
So that's a big problem.
Yeah, 100%. But on the other hand, if we can get the guys to take initiative, think for themselves, and you actually empower them to do that, well, hey, big upsides, right?
Well, the phone calls stop.
Yeah.
I mean, it's huge. And so you've got a lot, you know, clearer headspace. You've got room to breathe. You can think about things more clearly. You can work on the high-value tasks in your business. Maybe you can start working on how to build systems in your business, or work on key relationships with clients, or the marketing, or whatever it is to actually grow the business. So that's cool. That's exciting. Your headspace is better. What's really exciting, though, is your staff going to feel empowered, and they're going to feel like you value them, that you support them, that you acknowledge that they've got the skills to do the job. Because people actually want responsibility. Well, good people do. And most people are pretty good. And so they'll grow into that. Your skill level of your team will improve, because the more action they take, the more decisions they make, the more confidence they build, the more they do. And so they're kind of, their skill level – their experience grows. And that effectively, you think about that, their experience levels are growing, which is sort of building the foundations of your business. And that's all taking weight off your shoulders, which is what you want. And you can grow because you can see how that it's possible. Like, you've got people you can rely on. You can grow the business. You can take vacation and holiday as well because they've got things covered and they'd have to call you, you know, all the time when stuff goes wrong. So it's very, very powerful.
Yeah, well, the growth stops feeling like a pain in the ass and starts feeling like a really good thing because you can see how it could scale. So I think all of these are pretty big upsides. So should we get into like how we actually do this? What's the way?
The magic trick, there is a magic trick here. And I didn't make this up. It comes from the 1 Minute Manager, a very well-known management writer, Ken Blanchard, been around for a long time. And it's the 1-3-1 technique. And really simple, this technique. You teach it to your team and you get them to use it. So the technique is one problem. So they come to you with one problem and they come with three suggestions for how to deal with that problem and then one recommendation about what they intend to do. So one problem, three suggestions, one recommendation, which they intend to do, which they present to you. And it's all about giving you a really easy decision.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically, it's that opportunity for you to just sort of say yes, no to their recommendation. Yeah. I reckon go through an example, man.
Well, it's the 6-foot putt, you know, rather than having to drive from the tee. They give
six inch putt.
6-inch putt, yeah. 6-foot is a bit tricky.
6-foot's still a tough putt. Mate.
Six inch putt.
I don't know. There's probably some listeners thinking 6-foot's pretty easy, yeah, but I think for me and you, we probably need the 6-inch putt.
But it's the six inch putt. It's the tapping, you know, it's the gimme. So an example, you know, would be let's say you've got a contracting business. And Josh is one of your senior plumbers, let's say. He's out in the field on a job site. He runs into an issue. Maybe the original vanity that you're putting in the bathroom that's specified doesn't actually fit properly when he goes to install it. It turns out that the framing's slightly off, and this was sort of missed in the rough-in, and the builder's got it slightly wrong. Okay, so most businesses, Josh would do what he's always done. He'd just ring you up and dump the problem. You're like, hey, man, the vanity doesn't fit. What do you want me to do?
Yeah, and you probably roll your eyes and go, come on, I don't know. Well, use your brain. Like.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And in that situation, you've got to go through the whole thing. You probably even need to visit to figure it out. But the 1-3-1 approach, the call would go quite differently. You know, one problem, so Josh would say, the vanity doesn't fit due to the framing issue that we didn't spot earlier. So that's the problem. I've got three things I think we could do here, boss. One, we could trim the cabinet, you know, on site, but it'll take some time and it may muck up the warranty. Number two, we can go to the supplier and swap it out for a smaller model, but that's obviously going to delay the job. Or number three, we can talk to the builder about adjusting the framing to make the original unit work. But it's possible that this needs some sign-off from the builder and the client. Okay. One recommendation, I recommend we talk to the builder, adjust the framing, keep the original spec, you know, avoid any warranty issues. It's going to need a couple of extra hours from the chippy, and that's it. So now you can just approve the decision. It makes sense. You haven't had to solve it. You haven't had to go through the whole thinking process. That's the 6-inch putt.
Yeah.
That's what we want. So Josh, you can keep the momentum on site and you can keep your brain free for other stuff like running the business. And that's really how it works. It's super simple, but it's pushing the initiative back to the team.
Yeah, and this may take some work to begin with. You know, like you guys aren't just going to be able to be explained the 1-3-1 and then they do this perfectly. You may have to, you know, probe a little bit. So Josh may come to you and say, hey, vanity doesn't fit due to the framing issue we didn't spot earlier. Cool, he nailed the problem. And then he might still say, out of habit, what should I do? And you might need to remind him, hey, Josh, what do you think you should do? What are three possible options you could go with? And you know, you may even get pushback. Josh might say, boss, I don't know. That's why I called you. And you say, yeah, but if you did know. What would be some options? You know, you might need to probe and push. And then again, he might give you three options and then you might have to ask rather than him giving the recommendation. You might say, of those three options, which one do you think is the best? And so like you might have to push a little bit, massage this in, but you know, the guys will get used to it and they get to a point where they realize, hey, look, every time I come with a problem, the boss is gonna ask me these questions. So they start to pre-prepare those answers, which actually starts to engage their thinking where they'll start to do this proactively. And as we said, it allows you to make that 6-inch putt. You know, you didn't have to do the drive. You didn't have to do the fairway approach. You didn't have to, you know, get out of the bunker. You just had to do that little tap in at the end. And you know,
you'd be chipping out of the bunker, mate, for sure. I've seen you.
I spend more time in the sand than David Hasselhoff, mate. So hey, here we go. Anyway, my point is you do need to train the team into this. It will feel really foreign to begin with because, again, there's a real chance that what you've done so far is create that learn helplessness, like we said earlier, you know, by always solving their problems for you and answering the what should I do question. You may have conditioned them into a state where this is not natural to them anymore, which is ironic because probably outside of work and the rest of their life, you know, they probably solve problems all day long, you know, like around the house or, you know, with their friends or whatever. But in this context, it may feel foreign. And so you're going to have to coach them into it, explain the process. This is how we're going to do it. This is why we're going to do it. But then expect that when they come to you with a problem, you may still need to remind them and, you know, ask those questions to probe the recommendations out of them and the suggestions. And yet slowly over time, they'll get used to it. Because the thing is, most team members actually know what they should do. You know, they're not idiots. They're, you know, especially if they're a qualified tradesman, like they're not an idiot. They know what to do. They're just simply looking to transfer responsibility in the event that they may be wrong. So, you know, if I ask you, what should I do? And you give me the answer, that might actually be exactly what I thought, but now you said it. So if it's wrong, it's your fault, not mine. And so you just got to be able to, you know, recognize that gap, that difference between somebody who's trying to shift responsibility and just try to, you know, back themselves up in terms of if I'm wrong, it's not my fault, versus somebody who actually has no idea what to do. And then you're going to help still with someone who has a knowledge gap. Like if they genuinely have no idea what to do, you're still going to have to help. You know, you can't just, you know, take their recommendation and their recommendation sucks and it's going to cause a big problem. So, yeah, man, go ahead and just try to 6-inch putt something that actually wasn't 6 inches from the hole. Yeah, you know, like
it's still 100 meters, 100 yards from the hole.
Yeah, yeah. And if they can't swing the golf club in the first place, you may need to teach them. So, you know, you need to identify, is this actually a knowledge gap, something I should actually help with? Or is this something that they probably know, they're just trying to make this my responsibility if it goes wrong? And so, you know, if it is that, and it is just trying to shift the responsibility, you got to pull out that 1-3-1, get them to take the initiative, you know, come forward with their suggestions, and then you can reinforce to them through your agreement that, hey, you actually did know. So if they make a good recommendation, when you say, yeah, man, great job, it, you know, you could also say, you know, thing is, mate, like, did you realize you knew that all along? Good job, man. Like, see, you know what you're doing. Just those little sugar cubes of recognition that help them reinforce that they actually do have the answers and they are competent, they do know, and they can make decisions.
Yeah, and there's a really important sort of thing going under the surface here. If they are looking to transfer responsibility, that's probably giving you a bit of an insight into the culture that's developed in your business as well, because if that's the case, they've probably, you know, maybe they've tried to make a decision in the past and they've been slapped down for making a wrong one, maybe by you in a moment of frustration, which I think we've all done. And so if you find that people are often looking to transfer responsibility, it may be that, you know, there's been a bit of a setup of, look, I don't want to get it wrong or get my butt kicked. And that will kill innovation and initiative massively. So that might be a little, and you wouldn't have done it deliberately. It's just often out of frustration, but the employee probably doesn't see the difference to that. They don't know what's going on in your head and all the stresses you're carrying. They just know what they're carrying. And so that's important to understand as well, because you're going to have to shift that culture. And the 1-3-1 is a really important tool that you can help, you know, move that culture as well.
Yeah, I think on that note, man, like, I've got a little story if you want to hear it. But basically, my youngest son, he just turned 3. And, you know, all the kids have their jobs around the house. We call them family contributions, not chores. But anyway, like...
That's very PC of you these
days. Yeah, what do you think about that, man?
I don't know what I think about that.
Anyway, my point is like one of Franco, he's just turned 3. One of his things that he's learning to do is to clear the table after dinner. And he's got this plate. It's got a few scraps left on it. And I told him the other day, hey, man, you know, go chuck that in the bin. You know, before, as you clear the table. And he goes, all right, Dad. And he picks up his plate and throws the whole plate, food, knife, fork, everything straight into the bin. And I was like, oh, and you know, the temptation to be like, what the hell are you doing? You know, is massive. But you know, I actually had to reinforce the behavior of, hey, good job, buddy. You know, you put all that stuff in the bin. That's exactly what I asked you to do. Hey, just remember, like, the plate and the knife and fork actually go in the sink. But you know, I had to try to reward the initiative that he took of, like, he's doing the right thing. He was trying to do the job the right way. He was missing a piece of information. And I think it's just avoiding that knee jerk to, you know, scold something that went slightly wrong when actually, like, the initiative was the right thing. So yeah, I think that's important. And, you know, I think sometimes you have to let people skin their knees, right?
You do, like, you have to be quite strong here and maybe put up with a few, how do we put it, less than ideal outcomes. Because if you don't let them skin their knees and you don't let them make decisions and maybe see a little bit of consequence or have a little bit of failure, you will never let them learn. It's just like kids make mistakes, you know. They don't just jump on a bike and ride it straight away. They fall off a few times and skin their knees. But it's how you handle the mistake that's the thing. So you actually support them through that and encourage them and actually say to them, look, I really appreciate you showing initiative. Here's how you could maybe do it differently next time. But the fact that you showed initiative was amazing. That's what I really want. And you do want that. If you want to have a great business, you need the A team who show initiative and they do the heavy lifting for you, because that's why you employ people. It's not for you to do all the thinking and them just to be the hands. That's crazy. That just doesn't work, and it's just a recipe for disaster. So I think you let them skin their knees a bit. Obviously not, you know, you don't want it to be a crazy complete mess on a job, but a few little muck-ups here and there. Just remember, you've made them as well. You've probably made so many mistakes you can't even remember all of them. That's how you've got good as well.
Yeah.
And so be a bit kind to your team in the same way you've had to be a bit kind to yourself as you've grown through and got your experience as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, don't set them up for failure. Don't ask them to take initiative with something they have no idea about. You know, like I'll get Franco to take initiative with cleaning the table. I'm not giving him a concrete saw, though. Yeah, it's probably a bad idea at 3 years old. Like, might be a little bit irresponsible. So, you know, it's all about picking those moments. And, you know, we talk about situational leadership before, but, you know, right job for the right person at the right time. If they have all of the skills they need and they have the confidence, they've been trained, then they need to take initiative. If they haven't been trained, they don't know what they're doing, well, then they need training before you can expect too much initiative, or otherwise the initiative they take could actually be, you know, dangerous. And so it's about making the right choice for the right person, but it's also about backing it up in your values. So, you know, as you said earlier, if you're aiming for and rewarding perfection, then people are going to be scared of imperfection. They're going to be really worried that, you know, if I don't actually achieve that perfection, well, that's one of our values is quality, you know. And if you've got quality in your values, people are going to be striving for that quality and they're scared of what if I fall short. Whereas if you have initiative in your values, people are going to be looking to take initiative and understanding that sometimes my work won't be the perfect quality. But, you know, if you have quality and initiative, it's like, which one do they choose? Because those don't always go hand in hand. It can be difficult to do both. You know, what if I make a wrong decision? Now I need to check, which means I'm not taking initiative. You know, it's like, do these actually line up? Which one is actually the value you're trying to promote? And so I think, you know, you need to be very careful with what you're rewarding and what you're putting up in lights and in, say, your company values. And choose what's more important to you or sustainable for the development of your business. And like I said, reinforce that with the feedback that you give.
Well, this is very important and probably one of the biggest lessons we've learned growing thousands of businesses and growing our own business as well, is that there's an inverse relationship between control and growth. And if you need to control absolutely everything, you literally cannot grow. That doesn't mean you grow without control. That's a whole other thing. You've got to have measures in place, the right, you know, KPIs and financial measures and checks and balances. That's important. But your control behaviors actually make people helpless. And a lot of us, if we're honest, one of the reasons we're successful in business because we are high control.
Yeah.
You know, we make stuff happen. We do a good job. We do things to a high standard. But it's actually recognizing that perfection is not the goal. Excellence is the goal.
Yeah.
And that's probably one of my biggest lessons is to, you see team members doing something like, oh, I probably wouldn't do it quite like that, but it's actually pretty good. It's excellent. And it's way better than I could do if I was trying to do everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's the key.
Absolutely. Because you can only spread so thin, you know, and so you'll have a cap on what you're able to do and achieve and grow to if you, you know, can't relinquish control for some things at least. So, and you know, again, will you be angry if something isn't perfect? Like, I mean, probably, but like we said, was initiative taking, you know, will you be more angry about the fact that they, you know, took some initiative and got a little bit wrong, or more angry about the fact they got it perfect after 20 phone calls? I think that's the thing, is you can't always have it both ways.
And they didn't get it perfect after 20 phone calls. You got it perfect, which is the whole.
And after 20 phone calls, you might as well have gotten the van and gone down there yourself.
That's right.
And that'll be what you're thinking. And that creates resentment, which actually makes you take more control and, you know, make this problem even worse because you start believing, geez, they can't do it on their own.
Yeah.
Yeah. So pretty tough.
Yeah, it is. So, well, we should land this plane, bro.
Let's do it.
Stole your line.
Yeah.
The thing is with growing a business is that you can't do everything. And when you try to, that is frustrating. It overwhelms you. But there is a good strategy here to help you. And it's called the 131. So the next time your team members bring a problem to you, Don't just give them the answer. Train them on using this, you know, 1-3-1 technique. One problem, three suggestions, one recommendation. And then you're going to watch their confidence grow and your phone stop ringing. And it'll give you the basis to build a high-performance, initiative-taking culture, which allows you to grow a great business. Thanks heaps for listening. We'll catch you all again next time.
See you later.
Next week on the Profitable Tradie Podcast. The sad reality for most tradie and contracting business owners is that when they grow their business, they scale up chaos instead of profit and freedom. Now, life gets harder when it should be getting easier. Tune into today's podcast where we talk through how you can build the right systems and processes into your business so it can run smoothly without you having to do everything. Congratulations on being part of a select group of savvy business owners who are taking their businesses to the next level. And to help you on your journey, don't forget to check out our show notes for a copy of our free book, The Profitable Tradie, and other valuable resources. Thanks for being a part of this special group, and we'll see you in the next episode of the Profitable Tradie Podcast.